Well, I think that's a very good question.
Check out our new YouTube video, Good Question, issuesetc.org, and click support. Good questions, better answers, issues, etc. Watch the short YouTube video, Good Question, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Well, you know, that's a good question.
That's a very good question.
Yeah, that's a good question.
No, that's a good question.
The president's position on the Defense of Marriage Act has been consistent. He has long opposed it as unnecessary and unfair.
It is very different than the position he took during the campaign when he said he did not support same-sex marriage and, in fact, supported traditional marriage of man and woman.
You know what, man? I got my hope in Jesus Christ, buddy. And when you have hope on hand, you know, you can't be emotional about it. It's part of negotiation with the Cardinals. I have so much respect for this organization.
When we went back to Reform Christianity, we went back to the disciples, the apostles. If you want to go back to the beginning roots of Islam, you got to go back to Muhammad, who was not a peaceful man.
I'm Derek, the tea guy from Seward, Nebraska, who drives his truck through Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, and I rock issues, etc., the whole way.
The advocates of the evolutionary model of life have been telling us for decades now that it can be done, that life can, from inanimate matter and energy, assemble itself. They have been telling us it must be able to be done because it was done. Now think of it. You have chemists, geologists, biologists, planetary scientists, physicists, all gathered recently in Tempe, Arizona, with a very large audience, trying to sort out how it all began. You would think with all that brain power in the room over a weekend, they would be able to come up with some really solid scientific answers for how we go from inanimate objects to animate objects. Did they come up with the key to the origins of life? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, February the 28th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be talking with Frank Sherwin of the Institute for Creation Research for the first few minutes of this hour, answering that question. What did these Tempe scientists come up with when they gathered to discuss the real, as they say, the real origins of life? They've even called it the Garden of Eden. They came up with an answer. They call it RNA world. We'll find out what that is in just a minute. You can join us for our conversation with Frank and for our subsequent conversation. Especially want to hear from you in the remainder of the hour as I want your answers to this question. Should Christian churches allow their buildings to be used by Muslims for worship? Some have actually done this. They've opened their doors on Fridays for Muslim worship to Muslim neighbors. Should it be done? 1-877-623-6943. Audio open lines in about 10 minutes with your answer to that question. 877-623-6943. Send us your answers. talkback@issuesetc.org. Tweet them to us at IssuesETC or leave your answer to that question at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Frank Sherwin is a regular guest, and he's senior science lecturer for the Institute for Creation Research based in Dallas. Frank, welcome back.
Todd, thank you very much. It's always good to be back.
This group of geologists and chemists and biologists, planetary scientists and physicists, have replaced the Garden of Eden with what they call RNA world. What is it, and is that a sufficient answer, in your opinion?
Well, Todd, let's go to the definition of RNA. It stands for ribonucleic acid, and the difference between RNA and the famous DNA molecule that we've heard so much about is that RNA has one more oxygen than the DNA molecule, and RNA does not form the famous spiral helix of the DNA molecule. So evolutionists and the origin of life experimenters like to say, for various and sundry reasons, which are not really clear, that RNA, it must have been an RNA world, which for a time, Todd, experienced a lot of hoopla in regard to the secular origin of life from non-life. However, with more time, more chemistry, and more investigation and research, well, George Cody, who's an origin Evolution of Life researcher said it best in January of 2006. He said, and I'm quoting him, this Origin of Life researcher, "No one knows anything about the origin of life," end quote. And so that's kind of the situation as it stands right now.
It seems odd to me that they would take, and they're doing this tongue-in-cheek, obviously, replacing the Garden of Eden, a creationist account, with RNA world. But it doesn't seem to me, at least from my reading of the story in the New York Times, that they've explained where RNA world came from. In other words, how do you get from inanimate objects to even a molecule that can consume energy and replicate?
Well, it's exactly it. First of all, Todd, it's very difficult to define what life is outside of the Bible. You know, what is life? Well, I'm a zoologist. I've had a number of biology classes, you might imagine, and I don't even think once that any of my professors, not criticizing them, but my secular professors try to cogently define what life is. They usually give the background of life and the characteristics of life, or even the time period of life, but what is life is very difficult to describe. And so, you know, how would you ever describe life from non-life if you can't even define what life is in the first place? Now, the creation science answer to this, in part, and we don't have all the answers. That's why they call us the Institute for Creation Research. But we would look at John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except by me."
Contrast, if you would, how far apart are these two views of the origins of life, the one presented in a very simple, straightforward form by the first two chapters of the Bible, and the one that is being set forth by evolutionary science, regardless of the discipline, but by the evolutionary model of science?
Well, certainly, you know, we look at God who has always existed, speaking into existence what we call an ex nihilo creation, creating all things from nothing, and we look at the Genesis account as being the literal account of one who was there in the beginning, who is not bound by time, space, and matter as we are. And so, since the Lord Jesus is the second person of the triune Godhead, he is the creator, he is the sustainer of life, and so he has created life extremely complex in all of its biochemical sophistication. The evolutionists, of course, for them, evolution is the only show in town. They look at the creation account as not being viable, not being scientific, and just written by individuals who had some kind of supernatural visions or whatever, and they simply dismiss it out of hand. However, they are at square one once again. I had lunch with an individual who was very cognizant of origin of life in Santee, California about 10 years ago, and he is a Jewish atheist. He was in San Diego in a cancer conference, as he would come out there every year, and he was candid as we had lunch together at Black Angus. He said that every origin of life experiment that he is aware of ended up with a toxic tar on the sides of the reaction vessel. Doesn't sound like the origin of life to me.
So at this point, science really cannot – it can tell us the mechanics. It can tell us how the various – how to take it to the cellular level, how the various mechanisms of the cell work, the molecules interact with one another. They have that down pretty well. They just can't explain to us how it got here in a form that functions and that does everything that life does.
Well, that's it. I mean, there is a giant step between inanimate, non-organic life, and by organic, I mean that which is carbon-based, a huge step between inorganic non-life and carbon-based replicating, metabolizing life. And so far, the evolutionists have been trying a Herculean effort on their part, but they're, as I say, they're still at square one.
It seems that they must somehow explain even the simplest of cells, and they do still, don't they still contend that it began as cellular life?
Well, right. I've been criticized in the past when I give presentations. I'll say it was a prokaryote. That's a fancy word for bacteria. And bacteria have a cell wall and then an interior plasma membrane with all sorts of horribly complex biochemical processes. And I just finished writing an article for Acts and Facts about 2 months ago. And so when I say it's a bacterium, they say, oh, no, it isn't. Sherwin's wrong. And then I go, okay, it's a blue-green algal cell. And they go, oh, no, no, it wasn't. Sherwin is wrong. But they never get around to saying, well, what was that first form of life? And, of course, they have to say it's hypothetical because nobody was there to observe it, measure it, and find out what exactly it was.
So when someone reads a headline like, and this is the one we're talking about, In Search of the Origins of Life, geologists, biologists, chemists, and physicists gather in the desert to ponder it all, how it all began, they might conclude from reading this story that they actually came up with a real answer that is observable, repeatable, testable. Did they?
Right. And what you're saying, Todd, is empirical science, that which we can observe, test, and repeat. And the answer is no, they most assuredly did not. I mean, there is a huge jump between ribonucleic acid and life. And certainly it was Richard Dawkins, and a vociferous and very caustic anti-Christian, who said in his infamous book, Blind Watchmaker, he said, and I quote, "We can accept a certain amount of luck in our explanations, but not too much." Well, that's not observable, testable, repeatable science. That's appealing to luck. And then in this very first paragraph, the author, what's his name, Dennis Overby suggested that the magic joining of molecules that could go on replicating might have happened, et cetera. Well, according to Webster's New World Dictionary, magic is the use of charms and spells, et cetera.
Frank Sherwin is senior science research lecturer, for the Institute for Christian Research based in Dallas. Frank, thank you very much for your time.
You bet, Todd. Always glad to help.
Folks, you'll find a link to the Institute for Creation Research at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, we're going to be doing a little open lines with you. I'm sure you have an opinion on this question. Several churches have decided, at the request of congregations of Muslims nearby who are out of building, still under construction, need some place for Friday prayers, that they will open their buildings, maybe not their worship space, but their buildings, their facilities, to these Muslim congregations to allow them to worship. Do you think it's a good idea? Open lines on the other side of the break. 877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. We're coming to you live. It's Monday, February the 28th. Do all people share a common morality? Is natural law an errant teaching of the Roman Catholic Church? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is titled Natural Law, A Lutheran Reappraisal. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Natural Law by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Natural Law, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, IssuesETC.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. IssuesETC.org. Click Donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.